I'm joined on the line by Naomi Hadar, who is the Executive Director of African Friends of Sheba Medical Center. Naomi will share with us what it takes to keep the country's leading hospital running under fire. Naomi, thanks for chatting with us again. Sheba is now operating critical wards underground. Are there still wards above ground? And if yes, why haven't those been moved?
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Yes, Sheba has already transferred hundreds of inpatient beds to protect the filled and underground facility. But, however, there are still several wards located above ground and are not yet fully protected. Sheba is actively working to relocate this unit and create additional safe zones. And we must understand that this is a very complex and resource-intensive effort that involves the significant logistic, infrastructural, and financial challenges.
And Naomi, talking about logistics and the difficulty in managing these kind of things, I know that Sheba sent a ship to bring its doctors back to Israel. How, last time we spoke, you mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, about 700 doctors just happened to be out of the country when the war with Iran began. How many doctors have you been able to bring back, and how did you bring them back by ship?
Actually, we have to give the credit to our general manager, Professor Kreis, that he initiated this really extraordinary operation. And at the beginning of the operation, Rising Lion, Professor Kreis managed to secure a ship from Cyprus to Israel to urgently bring back more than 100 doctors and other Sheba staff to come back to Israel and come back to Sheba and the emergency responsibility they have.
Is the hospital short of doctors? Are there still a lot of the doctors overseas?
No, we brought most of our doctors, but don't forget that we have a lot of doctors in Miluim, in reserve. We are still in war. We still have doctors. Some of the doctors are pilots, some of them are in the battlefield, some of them securing other borders.
And how does that happen? How is the decision made whether to use that person as a pilot, for example, or whether to use them as a doctor?
That is the army's instruction. They know exactly what they need and how they operate.
I saw an article that said that Israeli doctors are reporting new kinds of injuries amid the Iranian missile strikes. What kinds of injuries is the hospital seeing from these attacks that differ from previous conflicts?
And we must remember that we have about 300 casualties since the Iranian attack began. But what is quite interesting, the most of them is a light injury. And many have already released, but the majority of the injury was caused by the shock waves from the blast rather than direct impact. That is the because of the unbelievable resilience and listen to the instruction of the population. And those are the injuries, including bruises, hearing damage, minor burns, and a lot of trauma related for the sudden pressure changes.
Wow.
And we have to remember that while the physical wounds were maybe generally less severe than the previous conflicts, but the psychological tolls and the stress-related symptoms have been significant, underscoring the broader impact of this escalation on civilians.
I mean, when you talk about the psychological toll, how is the hospital coping with the emotional toll, not of the patients, that's another story, but with the emotional toll on staff who are working under these conditions?
It's a really excellent question and an important question. And we have in Sheba a dedicated support system in place The aim is to help our staff and to maintain emotional resilience and strength during the time of crisis. And we created a design space for our medical team to rest and decompress between shifts. Mm-hmm. And we offer them ongoing mental support and through a consultation, a group conversation. And we must remember that many of the staff also are parents. And Tuva set up a special care and the activity space for the children right here in our campus.
Wow.
And they can focus on their work and not thinking about the children staying alone at home.
And when you talk about Sheba's staff, I mean, I don't know if our listeners know, but I am aware that this includes both Jewish and Arab staff. How does that cooperation play out? Or how does it help when you have such a high-pressure environment?
You know, we said that Sheba is a beacon of light coexisting. And our medical team includes Jews, Arab, Christian, Druze, and others, and they're all working side by side as one family. In fact, I mean, the crisis unit them, even give them a bigger sense of belonging.
Mm.
And I think the atmosphere at Sheba is one mutual respect, because we share the same purpose, and our purpose is saving life and healing. And in no matter if the patient is Jew, Arab, Muslim. And in fact, you know, many casualties we have treated during this escalation, including civilian and soldier, they came from all sectors of Israeli society. We have Jewish, Arab, Jews, and others.
Naomi, the German military donated blood to Sheba. What does that gesture mean to you and to the hospital, both medically and symbolically?
I'm thinking about this question. While the medical support, of course, it's important and appreciated, but for me, it's deeper meaning. It's more profound, it's symbolic.
Mm.
You know, I'm a daughter of Holocaust survivor, and since to see German soldier donating blood and helping people of Israel is nothing short of extraordinary. For me, I feel like quite but powerful victory is not a revenge, but healing, humanity and hope.
Naomi, we have to go to the news in 30 seconds, but if I can just ask you, if people in the Jewish community want to help Sheba with this amazing, incredible, life-saving work that it does, what can people do?
Especially now that we can't go to Israel, by donating to Sheba and helping God, it will help us to save life, and you have to be part of it. I think every Jew in the world should be part of this process, part of helping us to help the Israeli society that are in a time of crisis.